Amen.
Let's start. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You know, as David's request was, Lord, anoint me with fresh oil. Praise God. He had been dealing with his enemies. He knew he was anointed. He had been anointed. But sometimes the anointing need to be increased. We need some fresh anointing. So there's nothing wrong with asking God for fresh anointing. You know, we're going to talk about the anointing that abides in you. Only in the Old Testament, only kings and different people like that was anointed. But in the New Testament, all of us anointed because we have something that we have to do for God. Just not the fivefold ministry, but all of us are anointed. But everybody anointed is not activated.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about how to get that anointing activated today. Praise God. How Jesus got his activated. How David. We're just going to discuss the anointing. You know, I was about to close out with these emblems. Because let me tell you, we have talked about a lot of emblems.
And I remember a lot of emblems. So that's good that you spent time on it.
Yeah, I decided to spend time on it because we have not had deep study on it. You know, we talk about it, we say, you know. But we have not gotten down to a deep. See, these emblems help you to understand the revelation of the character of the Holy Spirit. You get to know him better.
Yes, amen.
He already know you. But he deals with us like this because he's a good teacher.
Yeah.
He's a very good teacher. He takes all these techniques, emblems, semblans, all this for us just to learn about the invisible. See, Jesus, when he was here, you could see him. He was the Jesus with us. Now the Holy Spirit is the Jesus in us.
Yes.
Praise God. Making us just like him. Praise God. So that's the reason it's important that I wanted to go through the emblems a little faster because I'm like, God, these are a lot of emblems, you know. But I like what, if you would go with me to the 39th verse. 39, page 40. Okay. You know, you may be asking this question that maybe I was asking and a lot of you are asking. Why are there so many types of emblems in the scriptures? Why are there so many? We've studied so many and still got a few more to study. Why so many emblems? And it says, and she said here in her book, it is because the beauty of our glorious Savior is so transcendent, so wonderful, that no single picture could ever express the depth of truth contained in him. Can't no one single emblem express who he is. So it takes all these. And let me tell you, these emblems, when you see them working sometimes, they all working in one, and you just can't, you don't know where one end and where the other one began. They all just, you can just see them working, just moving. All they move so fast. Like on the, case in point, like on the day of Pentecost, we saw the river flowing out of Peter on those people. We saw the fire, his passion. We saw many other emblems working in him all at that same time. But they're so smooth, they just all just kind of worked out together. And so it takes all these emblems, because we're dealing with the Holy Spirit, to just describe him, to give us the picture. Because, like she said, no one emblem can do it. You can't, you know, some people say, I just like the fire, I just like the wind. Because, see, that day we saw the emblem of the fire, we saw the emblem of the wind, we saw the river blowing out on the people that when he came outside. I mean, we just saw a lot of things just going on, you know, there. And so these emblems are very important, because we can recognize and we can enjoy them. And not only that, we can get better acquainted with the Holy Spirit. We can see how his character, the things he do. You know, fire, when you think of fire, it can be destructive, but he's not using it that way. He's using it according to his nature, according to who he is, a beautiful picture of fire. So, and a beautiful picture of the dove, beautiful picture of everything that we have studied, just how he works with us. What a teacher that would go to that length to get you to understand who he is. And all these emblems does not take from him being a divine person. We still can see him as a divine person. So I could not close this out without doing the anointing. The anointing is very important in our life and in our walk and in the revival that's coming. Because you'll come against all kinds of things, and you got to have an anointing for all that. Let's start off with, I was going to go to the Old Testament, but let's start off with Luke 4:18. Let's go to Luke 4:18. Okay, now this is the same thing that Isaiah saw. Isaiah saw this before Jesus quoted it, so he had to quote it. You know, we talked about activating the anointing. One of the ways you activate it, this is not the only way, but one of the ways you activate it is when you confess it, that the anointing is, you know, I have seen the church people, they will not confess the anointing. They confess, Lord, you know we weak. You know we don't understand. I mean, they confess everything except I'm anointed. I want y'all to know this morning, I'm anointed to do what I do.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here with an anointing. To do, but you can't, the church people, they confess their, you know we weak. You know we don't, we see through a glass dark. They confess everything except we are anointed.
Right.
And so that's one way you activate the anointing, is by confessing. When you're walking through the house, they say, I'm anointed for this. Just tell yourself that. Mm-hmm. I'm anointed. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit would anoint you for every job and task you have to do.
Amen.
But to activate, you know, just like you receive a credit card in the mail. They tell you you can't use it until you what?
Activate it.
You got to activate. Is the amount on there? Yes, it is. The money's there. But you have to what? Activate it first before you can use it. So this is Jesus activating what Isaiah said it years ago, that he had seen him. And that was good that Isaiah gave the prophecy of it. But Jesus himself still had to activate it himself. And this is him in Luke 4:18. And there was delivered, let's go at 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He found the scripture. He found himself. He found the place. He didn't go by what, he found the place. He found the scripture. It probably wasn't the scripture he was supposed to be reading. The verse. This verse was left for someone special. But he knew who he was. And he knew he was anointed. But the people didn't. Said the Spirit, the 18th verse, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. There's an anointing for preaching the gospel. There's an anointing for it. I mean, an anointed preacher. We're going to put out all these anointings today. Sometimes you may think there's just one anointing, but there's anointing for preaching the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the broken heart. There's anointing to heal the broken heart. Hashakatia. To preach deliverance to the captives. There's an anointing to preach to the captive, to get them free. And recovering sight of, there's an anointing for that. And to set at liberty those that are bruised. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, there's an anointing for that. And you know, you didn't have to wait till the 50 years. Jesus broke this 50-year thing. In the Old Testament, you have to wait for the 50 year for that acceptable year of the Lord. But he said, no, that's open all the time. And he closed the book. And he closed the book. Do y'all hear me? And he gave it again to the ministry. And he sat down. And he didn't sit down in a regular seat. He took the seat of the one that this is for. I mean, everybody looking at him like, hey, you in the wrong seat. You don't sit in that seat, you know. You don't sit in, just like they had those cups in communion. You weren't supposed to drink from one cup, you weren't supposed to drink from. And he drank from that cup. He said, this is my cup. And he did the same thing here. And he sat down. And the eyes of all them in the synagogue was fasting on him. Like, what? Who do he think is? He better get out of that seat. Do he know what that seat is for? Do he know what it's for? He said, I've been anointed to sit here. I'm anointed to do this, what I do. You got to activate that anointing. Tell yourself, hey, I'm anointed. I'm anointed to do this. I'm anointed. Talk to yourself. Tell yourself I'm anointed for this. Say, all eyes didn't look at him, but they fastened on him. They were about to pull him out of that seat. I mean, fastened, was glued on him because of what he said. And if that wasn't enough, while all eyes was fastened on him, and he began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. If that's not enough. Oh, that made them really, really, really mad enough to, and this is what they said, is this not Joseph's son? And all bear witness and wonder at the gracious word which proceed out of his mouth. And he said unto them, yea, you would say, we're not going to go that far, but listen, Jesus did something that the people did not expect him to do. They don't expect, they say it's prideful if you say you anointed. It's not a prideful thing if you know who anoints you. You don't anoint yourself. It's the Holy Spirit that anoints you to do this work. And dealing with the people he was dealing with, he really needed to be anointed to even say what he said, you know, with boldness and authority. He needed the anointing, and he had the anointing for that. Okay, let's flip over, because of time, let's flip over, no. Since we're over here in the new, let's go to 1 John 2 and 27. Let's do that while we're here. I'm not going to skip over that. First John 2 and 27. Okay. But the 27th verse, 2 and 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. It's in you. It's just like the credit card. You got it? But if you don't activate it, okay, it abides in you. Abide means it's living in you. It's in you. And he need not any man to teach you. Now, this right here has stumped a lot of people. They think that it's saying you don't need a teacher. You don't need. But the same one that said this said you had a fivefold ministry to teach you.
Yes.
What he's saying here, no man can give you revelation of a scripture, can teach you the revelation of a scripture. No man can teach you that. The revelation of a scripture, the truth of a scripture. Because when Adam sinned, we fell from that truth, and we fell from that. And we can't receive truth from God unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. That's what it means. We had one man, not in our class, he was in another class that we had in here. And he was saying, the Holy Spirit said, I don't need no man to teach me. I don't need nobody to teach me. I'm like, no, that's the wrong understanding of that scripture. What he's telling you, no man can teach you revelation. It has to be revealed from the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can teach you revelation. He's the only one can teach you truth. Man can't do it. It's not in him. But the Holy Spirit has eternal truth.
Right.
To reveal to us. That's when I tell him the greatest teachers. I love all the other teachers, the rabbis, all of them. They're good. But he's the only one that can teach you truth and revelation. He's the only one. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, I'll do that. Boy, yeah, I'll bring truth. He take this word that's written here. He take this word that's written here. Some people can read it and they don't get nothing out of it. But he can reveal the truth and the revelation of it. Can't nobody else. Man can't do it. Only the Holy Spirit. Apostle, your hand is up. What you?
And he can do it through other people who's more anointed.
Yes, he can. But it's still him doing it.
Yeah.
He's using the teacher to fire from, but yet that's him doing it. No man is doing it. It don't come from a man. Man, I mess it up. Because you can look right here in Jesus' days how they messed it up. Even when Jesus was trying to reveal this to them, that scripture that he was anointed and he was the Messiah, they messed it up. Because they would not let the Holy Spirit reveal it to them. They messed it up. Man had been revealing, the Pharisees had been revealing it to the people. And they messed it up. But that's clarity on that scripture that if people have just met. When I hear it, I go, oh, God. This is just all messed up telling you that every time they don't need a teacher. They don't need no man to teach them. They don't need no. I went, oh, Lord Jesus, help us here.
Well, he wouldn't put teachers in fivefold ministry then.
Is that what now?
I said he wouldn't put teachers in fivefold ministry if they didn't need.
He's the same one that said, hey, I give you the fivefold ministry to teach you. But this anointing is abiding in you. It lives in you. And you can get it activated for the ministry that you have to do. All of us has a ministry to do. Whether you fivefold, there's an anointing that he wants to give you. The anointing is on the inside of you. Well, how you activate it, how you get it out on the inside. Not only that, you have to fellowship with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
to get that anointing. He just ain't gonna anoint just know anybody.
Well, if you're not gonna use it, why does it want to waste, you know?
What's that, Mary?
If you're not gonna use it, why give it to you?
There you go. That's a very good point, Mary. That's a very good point. But the anointing is not, you know, just only for that. It's to consecrate you for service.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a consecration too. When he comes on you, he consecrates you for that service, that you can do it. If you let the anointing in you do it, it makes your work so much easier. You can do it with some joy.
Yeah.
You can do it with it just makes it much, the anointing makes it so much easier. And it abides in you. Because the Holy Spirit in you. The anointing is living in you.
I was thinking, this would be such a great class to teach people before they have children or they're pregnant about mothers and fathers being anointed to do that position. It'll be so much easier.
It is.
But how many of us, we do it indirectly, have you ever seen a class on somebody teaching a mother to be anointed to do what she's supposed to do? Talking about the Holy Spirit and praying in the Spirit.
Like I told you, you have to confess that sometimes I'm anointed for this.
Yes.
Sometimes we want to confess what our flesh wants us to confess. Can't do that. I don't have the strength for that. I mean, good Lord Jesus. Come on. Now, but I'm anointed for this task.
Sometimes we separate the natural from the spiritual too much. We should, like a wife and a mother, needs that anointing to be, I'm coming from a woman's point of view. You need that anointing to do that household.
Amen.
You need it instead of, you know, we kind of get busy. We got to take them here. We got to do that. You're so involved in going and doing that you're not spending time in saying, I'm anointed to be a mother. And when
it takes a lot of stress out of
it. That anointing comes and tells you, you do not let that child have that phone at this age because that child's not ready for it. Some other child might be, but that anointing's told you not to give them that phone. And
amen.
So listen.
Amen. That's very good. See, what I'm trying to get over to people, that the anointing is for everybody. You know, they just think the anointing for the pastor or for, you know, somebody, you know. But you're anointed to
put it in a box and just use that anointing for spiritual stuff too. Like Jesus walked in anointing all the time, everything he did and said.
But when I get over here to...
But he did have special times of that for him.
Yeah, and for it to increase.
Yes.
But, okay, I wanted to talk about the increase. It's way out of my time. But I also want you to know that not only in the Old Testament they anointed people, but they anointed things. They went into the temple and they anoint these things. These things are consecrated and they for the Lord's use. But now, honey, you can do anything in the Lord's house now and it ain't nothing consecrated to the Lord. Anything you want to do. I'm like, God, help us. Help us. You know, to still, I mean, the Lord had them to take the oil and I wished I could go over there and reach you some of these things that they had to consecrate, but they had to do that. They had to do that. They took the oil, prayed over it, and consecrated certain things. This is for God's use. God's use. And it just made things, I am so way over. You know, I wanted to show you how they, over in the Old Testament, they used to take the oil bottle and just pour it on a person if they were being anointed for king or, you know, whomever God told them to anoint, and all just be running down just everywhere, you know. But when Jesus said he was anointed, the Holy Spirit had anointed him, he didn't take the oil bottle and pour it down on him. You know, the reason why he didn't have to do that outward thing like that of oil like that, because The Holy Spirit was abiding in him. He didn't need that oil running down. The Holy Spirit anoints a man now. It's not the prophets coming up anointing. And you know what? God may lead a prophet to put some oil on you, anoint you, just for an outward identification for people or somebody. It doesn't mean that. Over in James, it said, if any among you sick, get that oil. Call for the other church. Let them anoint you with oil. You know, oil is still used in the New Testament. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying Jesus didn't have an oil bottle poured down on him like the king, Samuel, and all the others in the Old Testament. But the Holy Spirit was there with the oil. The Holy Spirit was all that. Let me close this out because I can't get into that to show you like I really want to. So let me close out with that. Okay. I'm way over my time. But God bless y'all. Get the gist of it. Y'all get the thirst for the anointing. Oh. Thurston is anointed to take up. He's going to fill in the blank. Where I can get to.